Thank you, Lord, for this hour that we're living. We see on the horizon, Lord, the gathering, O Lord, of a great cloud. And soon, Father, we know there will come the latter rain. And we are thankful, Father, for this hour that we're living, that we can sit under your feet, Lord, and receive the early rain and the teaching rain. Lord, that we may be soaked, O Father, and that we might be matured, Father, in the Son of the living God. That, Lord, we may be true golden grain that is ripened and ready to be picked up by the husbandman. Father, we thank you. We thank you for that love for us, Lord. And as we sit now under your feet, O Lord, we pray that our hearts are open. Yes, Lord, that our eyes are open and our ears are open to hear and to see, Father, what you have in store for us. The little thing, golden nugget here that we can learn, Father, and that we be stabilized, Father, in thy word, not tossed to and fro in this last hour of the closing age, Lord. So, Father, we ask for your blessing. Bless those who hear and watch this video also, Lord, online. We ask that you bless every one of us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we are still on our series on understanding. This is the fifth Sunday on that. Because we are not in a hurry, because, as I said, there are times when we have preached sometimes. There are times when we have to teach, and so that we can be grounded and be stabilized in the Word of God. And it is important for the last four weeks that we've been talking about is to how do we look at the Scripture. Let me just say something here. There was a rabbi, and he's a Jew, of course, and I think it's back in the 17th century, I believe he was. He was a philosopher. And he was a thinker. And he wanted people to think, he wanted to look at the Torah. And you know what the Torah is, right? The first five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy, the first five books of Moses. Because when you look at the Jews, when they believe what they believe is all tradition, they don't think, they don't examine. And he being a philosopher, you know, he being a rabbi, and also, but he contradicts many of these Jewish tradition because he wants people to think. And so he had a little discussion with one of his young pupil actually, by the name of Joseph. And I think he came out with a book called A Guide to Perplex. People were perplexed, you know. And some of the things that he argued and reasoned with or discussed with the Jew and with his people, he asked this question. Now this man's name, this rabbi, this philosopher name is Moses Maimonides. Now Maimonides is such that he, similar by his mind, he liked to sort of discuss or debate over the subject of what you as a religious person believe. Now he asks this question, he says, when we look into the book of Genesis, look into that book, he asks, there is this talking animal. Now he asks this question, is that to be taken, the record is it to be taken as a historical record? Or is it a parable? You know what I'm saying now, huh? So he just wants to stimulate the mind. Can you accept that as a historical record? It is true. Exactly what happened is written there. Or is it a parable? Now there's another place where he again asked question. He said, now, does God know everything? Does God see everything? Does God hear everything? Does God hear everything? Does he see everything? Does he know everything? Come on, you need to know the answer. Come on, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, yes. So he asked this question, being that he is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. So he asked this thing, how is it then in the record of the Torah that when the children of Israel were in Egypt, you know how the children of Israel were crying out to the Lord, right? And then the word of the Torah said, and God heard their cry. You mean to say before that God did not know that they were crying? You understand? And the Bible also said, the Torah also said, and God sees their suffering. You mean before that he didn't see? You get the point? Right. You see, here he's trying to get the religious people to look at it carefully, to understand. Because when you read the book of Exodus, you know that children of Israel went to Egypt. How that they were enslaved after Joseph died, not very long. The Pharaoh, who knew not Joseph, began to make the Egyptians slaves. And Israel was crying out to the Lord and all these things. And then the Bible said, after some time, God sees their suffering. God hears their cry. Before that, God doesn't know. You see, the thing about it, the same thing with our Bible. We need to think. We need to look at the Bible and see how God reasoned with us. Because God said, come, let us reason together. Though your sin be as scarlet, it shall be white as snow. How is it possible? How is it possible your skin is scarlet, you're so bloody, and yet it can be as white as snow? How is it possible? And God said, come, let us reason together. You reason with God by his word. As I said, many times I talked to some of these believers in the end time message about the message of what Abraham said, the thing that Abraham said. Yeah, they tell me, many of them, the white ones, white men, those locally here, those in Africa as well, and in India, the several of them met over times. You dare to question the prophet. You dare to reason. You just have to accept what Barabbas said. That's it. But it's the same thing with the anomaly. Accept what the Bible said. Okay. How do you accept what the Bible says? In what sense do you accept the Bible? There is this talking animal. There are two trees. So what are you looking at? And that's why we have a problem. Trees are trees, nothing else. Trees are trees that comes up from the ground. And trees bear leaves, with trunks, with flowers, with fruits. But is that what the Bible said about those two trees? And so much we need to understand how God uses expression and throw it out. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have eternal life. Jesus said that. Well, take what Jesus said, eat him and drink his blood. Is that what he said? You see what how important it is for us to think. Of course, the theologian will say, but of course we know what Jesus said, you know. Jesus don't mean eating him. You know, he's not eating his word and the spirit and the word and things like that. Yeah, but that's in the context. But when you are there, it's a different story. Destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. The disciples that were there that heard Jesus said that, they even scratched their head. They don't even know what Jesus was saying. Until after the resurrection, they knew that Jesus was referring to his own body. Right? Not when they were there. That's what the Bible said, until when Jesus said, when the Spirit is come, you'll guide you and lead you in all truth. Brother Ben made a right statement. Without the Holy Spirit, you will not know the Bible. And now people say, I have the Holy Spirit. Oh, you have the Holy Spirit, but do you have up here the spiritual discernment to understand? Or do you just believe because the denomination said so? Because you're there, we are so indoctrinated. That's why American people are so indoctrinated by the news, in their local news, that they believe everything. And you don't realize one. And you know what's happening just recently, only what America did to Russia. And Putin was very fed up. In fact, not only just Putin, in fact, a lot of other nations are fed up with America. It was the American people who knew what it is, they speak up. Yeah? Or the red Indian would say about a white man, you speak with fork down. That's what America is now. And we are living in that era of time. I don't know when Christ will come. How long it will be before he comes. And I told brother, I'm looking only for one thing. Every year I'm looking forward to the month of October. What's coming in October? You ask me why I'm looking at October? Let me tell you why I'm looking at October. Because that's the month when the Feast of Trumpets are being, you know, carried out by the Jews. Because that is the, remember the seven trees of Jehovah? I already taught you that. The first three feet has been fulfilled by Christ. The last four has yet to be fulfilled. And the one they're going to study it on will be the Feast of the Trumpets. I'm seeing how, what event will, what will happen when you approach October. And if this October comes and pass, if nothing happened, nothing serious happened, then we go to next year again, I'm looking at that. Okay, this is what I'm looking at. What's on the horizon is coming before the Jew blow the trumpet and before Christ comes. Now, you see, I want you to look at this, some of these highlighted words that we have brought up last Sunday. You see, when you replace rationality with emotionality, or rationalizing with emotion, then you have a problem. And many times, as I said, these religious people are very emotional. Are you not? I'm very emotional. You know. Oh, yesterday Sister Gertie was texting me, you know, text, and we're just talking over the text, and I was just even crying. If you just think about the love of Christ, and we all are emotional people, but when we get emotion, over emotion, and throw away rationality, or, you know, then something is wrong. You cannot replace them. And that's what people are doing. So when we get to the Bible, don't get emotional because this, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Catholic, that's what we believe. Got it? Alright. Now when it comes to feeling, the emotional thing, they say, what is true. One's feeling are more apt to deceive than promote good decision. You know how people really sometimes be hysterical and emotion. They don't listen to reason. No reasoning. It's just emotion, they must have it. They must let loose, just like my grandson. You know, emotion. Yesterday I took him out when we came back to Jerome East and he got off the train and got off the bus. He was trying to put his sunglasses on, he banged into a pillar. When he banged into the pillar, he hit like this, and wow, he yelled out, yeah, he started crying. Tears came out very fast. You just imagine, you know, the crying, the tears, what's up? Wow, like rain actually. You know, I look at him and I said, there's nothing there. He's lost his pride, actually. Because he banged into that and I'm watching, you know. Okay. You know, he loses his pride, his emotion. Oh, people are looking at me. You see how that is. And if that children, I understand children. Right? But we are supposed to be, I know we are children of God too, and God's feeding us like children. And by we don't cry, if we are matured, we should be matured, have reasoning. Be rational. Not let our emotion run. Lord, I lost my job, I got no job, can't you give me a job? And you start to argue and cry, like, you know, get upset with God and, yeah. You know, the African people, they were mixed race. They come from Africa, to England, they come from America, from Africa, to Europe, they come from Africa, to America. Huh? What happened? Don't you think they're frustrated? Brought from their land, their roots, to a foreign land, a mixed slave, and perhaps raped by the white people. What did they do? What is it? Lord, how come we here? And they fight to survive. And the Jews and the Holocaust and Auschwitz and all the blankets, or whatever their name is called. They look in the literal Holocaust, 6 million of them died. And yet, there are lots of words written in the camp. And there, you can Google it and you can see it. There's one they've written so well. Even if he remains silent, he is still Jehovah. Right? So why did God let them die like that? Why did God make them suffer? Why did God allow it? And you get emotional. God doesn't care. He's not God. If God is real, then why is there suffering in the world? Right now, why do I have to go through suffering? Do what? Timothy had problem in the stomach. Paul prayed for him, Peter prayed for him, apparently, but he wasn't here. And he told Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach sick. Because he's so very sensitive to the food he eats in every country he travels. Foreign food. Food that you're not used to. Water that you're not used to. Take a little wine for your stomach sick. You know how uncomfortable it, how uncomfortable it is when you have that problem in your stomach? Ever so often? Why did God not heal him? And why did God not take away the prick in his eye? Paul's eye. The pain that comes into him, that's to keep him in the way from being proud. Remember one thing, he's God. That's all you have to remember. Don't let our emotion go wild. So when people have emotion, the feeling of are more apt to deceive than to promote good decision. And that's what Christian people are around the world. Look at the Branhamites. Look at the charismatic. Think about it. Huh? Over in Africa. Wow, there's a lot of prophets. Lots of prophets in Africa. I will show you that they don't want this particular prophet. And people are deceived. There are thousands. You don't know the amount of money they have. Africa, in fact, if I know it correctly, the whole country of Africa, there are more prophets and apostles in Africa than in any countries in the world. Nigeria has one of the most. You can ask more nice. Yes. Here in Singapore, we have megachurches. How many megachurches there? Charitable. Of course, they are charity. They are organization. Where do you think money goes? People who are ruled by their emotion are not happy people. Always remember that. Do you know? If you're ruled by emotion, you always think about your problem and think about yourself and other people are bad or whatever you're thinking. Your emotion controls you. They are not happy people. In their own enslaved mind, they are perpetual victims. Hey, I'm a Catholic. My father is a Catholic. My grandfather is a Catholic. I'm born a Catholic. Oh, they're a Catholic. Don't tell me that we are wrong. Catholic is the biggest church, the mother church. Do you know that? My, you are not a Catholic. When you die, I'll pray for you to get out of purgatory. You see, because I believe in the mother church. Don't say anything bad about the Pope. The emotion is there. Don't say anything bad about Brother Branham. What is there to say bad about Brother Branham? I only have this to say, Brother Branham is human. He was human. He made mistakes. Oh, that's a bad thing to say that Brother Branham made mistakes. Really? Who is the person on earth that never made mistakes? Then he must be God. Remember. The undisciplined nature of their emotions is destructive to themselves and others. Undisciplined emotion destroys relationships, property, and spiritual health. That is very true. Isn't that right? Yes. Now, here is this guy, okay, his name is Philip Kako. And he is an agricultist. He's a preacher. Now, he's a prophet. Okay? And this is what he said. Outside the message that I, prophet, can call Philip, that which I preach, there is no salvation anywhere. There is no truth anywhere. And there is no Holy Spirit anywhere else. Outside of me. Now, why he said that? He started off small and had become very big. You know, he's worth about almost $100 million. Wow. And he has many, many followers around the world. Wow. Huh? Look what he said. This is Kako 85, chapter 85, verse 2. Now he has his book called, like other prophets too, huh? Before they want to follow the Bible. The book of Job, the prophet, Ezekiel, the book of prophet, Ezekiel of prophet Jonah. You know what I mean? They had the book of Kako. And then one of the book of the shepherd, then the one in South Africa. Okay, this is chapter 85, verse 2. Okay. Branham means, this is called Branham, I'm not going to copy it. Scandalized to hear that I am Revelation 1911. He said, not me, not Richard Gunn, but Kako said, he is Revelation 1911. What is Revelation 1911? Look at. Check your Revelation 1911. He said, he is Revelation 1911. My. You know, when he has such a great follower, his emotion comes out, and that sets a lot of deception. It destroys people's lives. He destroys spiritual health. My brother, my sister. What does it say? Huh? Their fathers were also scandalized to hear. That means their father talking to the Brahmin. Your father means all those before you were in denomination. Also scandalized to hear that William Graham was Luke 17:30. We know that. Okay? Alright. But the miracle silenced them, and as Pentecostal, they comply with them. They have problems here because Jesus Christ revealed not as a Son of Man, but as being the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God, you see? And the congregation say, Amen. Jesus Christ can share his person, this manifestation, but not the worship as we can see in Revelation 19:10. Remember, Abraham had presented himself as being the Son of Man in fulfillment of Luke 17:30, but he cannot receive the worship due to the Son of Man as we saw it 2,000 years ago. So what he's trying to say that in Revelation 19:11, that he's the one that brings the Word of God. Not that he is the Word of God. You get it? He's trying to say that he is the one on the White House, the one now representing God, that he is the one that has the Word. That's why early on he said, outside of the message he preached, there's no life. Okay, next. Since 2002, I speak on behalf of God, so that whosoever believes in me and follow me may have eternal life. And already in 23 languages, this message coming from God through me reaches every inhabitant of the earth. Hey. Because Nathan, you're not scary?
Yes.
You're just scary, you know?
Some of them went into vision angels.
Right. See, he said it everywhere in Nathan in the earth. But if you come to Singapore, we probably get kicked out. You know that, huh? A man is going to say that, whoever believes in me and follow me may have eternal life. Whoa, same thing here, over in Tubalo, here, over in the Philippines. Next, this is written by his disciple, of course. Well, know that prophet Coco Philip doesn't preach people the Bible. Oh, now I understand. Okay? But he has a new message that he received from God in April 24, 1993. It is a message destined to our generation for the salvation of the elect. Means that we don't have salvation? No, we need salvation. We are elect because we have salvation. Not because the elect need salvation. We already have it. A prophet doesn't come to repeat the Bible to people. What do you mean by to repeat the Bible? So he doesn't preach from the Bible. He preaches from his emotion, what he thinks he is. After Jesus of Nazareth, there are many prophets, messengers, sent to the nation. More than 20. For your salvation, you do not need to start counting the prophet. But you need to believe in the prophet messenger of your generation. And your prophet must be a living person, since you are also a living person. So you believe in him. Kaku. Philip, because he's living, he's alive. Brother is dead. Don't believe in Brother. Don't believe in Moses, he's dead also. Don't believe in Ezekiel, Brother Danny. You understand what he's trying to say? Whoa. Now we have a lot of false prophets, as the Bible said. One true prophet that came, 300 comes after. So don't let your emotion run wild. Don't let your emotion runs well. Huh? Because that's the reason why we need to have rational, we need to have closer look at the Bible. How to look at the Bible? Now, let's go to the book of Proverbs 13:24. From here on together we talk about the problem with America parenting today is 1960. It's the 1960. It's the problem. So, America do not believe in Canaan. I believe in Canaan. I believe it strongly in Canaan. Sometimes, yes, you can reason. But sometimes when reason is not there, the kid, you've got to shame him. That's what the man said. John Rossman said, shame is important. So he understands what shame is. That's the reason why the Bible put David's name in that. And tell the story of what David did. Oh my goodness, that's terrible, isn't it? What do you think? If you commit a small, maybe a small affair, some people would say, and then your name appears in the newspaper. Do you like it? What do you think our government shame people? Criminals? And give them the cane? Yeah, it's to shame them. So that he will behave. By the American thinking, no. That is bad. Psychologically bad. Because you make the person frustrated, he go out there, he did it again. He will do it again. Really? That means the Bible is wrong then. That's not American me telling people lie. Half truth. And so denomination telling people the same thing. The same spirit, the member of Abraham said, it's the same spirit that caused a man to fornicate with a woman physically. It's the same spirit that works in the church to get you to fornicate against the word of God with man-made doctrine. Same spirit. What works in politics works in the religion as well. Huh. Because you're governing the people. Because you're telling words to the people. See. So what does Proverbs 13:24 say? Read it.
He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him properly.
Right. You spare the rod, you spoil the son. Huh? You discipline him, yeah, it's good. Next verse. Chapter 29, verse 15. Same book, Proverbs 29:15.
The rod is revealed to give wisdom, but a child is left to himself, brings shame to his mother.
Uh-huh. That's true, isn't it? When the word of God can it teach you, you know? It disciplines you, it makes you a better person. But left it to yourself not being taught, you bring shame to your own self. And that's the reason why a lot of people are not teachable. A lot of people who say they're Christian are not teachable. The moment, you know, I talk to people and share with people about doctrine, they're Christian, I share with them. The moment they hear something that is contrary to their belief, they won't want it. They say it's false. Because why? They approach the subject already with a preconceived idea that what they believe is true. It cannot be wrong. You get a point? Yes. And that's why it's not for people to shake off the doctrine of the Godhead not being a Trinity. But they still hold on to it. And that's why, because of that, they hold on to Matthew 28:19. The baptism in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They hold to it because Jesus said so. Not what Peter said. They hold on to it. They do not move along with God in revelation. That's why we must keep moving with God in revelation. Because God's word is corrective. Nobody knows everything. Not even Paul. Not even John. Not even Brother Branham. When I say that, the Brahma doesn't like it. He said Brahma knows everything. That's a lie. That's a lie from hell. So the devil wants you to believe. And that the Pope is the Holy Father. It's vicarious spiritual. And people believe in it. Huh? And you see on the charismatic front, people are like the prophet, they call you a prophet, of course. Peter Popov. Benny Hinn. Right? You know Benny Hinn is typically well known. All the fire thing, all the falling down thing, you think it's real? Back in Houston, Texas, I think it was a year, in the 1900s, I believe. The Holy Laughter. How many of you heard about the Holy Laughter? Yeah. Holy Laughter. Oh, that's the Holy Spirit coming with you laugh and rejoice. Oh, what? It sounds like that's what Paul said. When a man comes into your church and see that everybody speaking in tongues, you say, are these not foolish people? Some people are speaking in tongues, they couldn't hear, understand what, and you go, ha 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 ha. Something is wrong. I've been to a church, I don't want to mention the name, but they're trying to propagate this to the congregation that it is good that you cry. You cry, come to church every Sunday, you know, you hear someone, you cry. Repent of your heart. And they had ended in the church. In the pew, on the pew. Not chairs, and what you're sitting on is pew. Huh? Where the front seat, behind the front seat, there you have where you can put the Bible somewhere. They have tissue boxes. Tissue boxes. So they want to hear someone, start crying. God, they believe that this is your expression of remorse and repentance. But you don't always come to hear someone and start crying. You force yourself to cry, something is very wrong. Come on, I want you all to cry. Can I force you to cry? No. And if the presence of the Lord or the Holy Spirit comes upon one of you or two of you, you may cry, you may weep, and you may just laugh by yourself, just, you know, may love and rejoice. But not everybody necessarily that we all do that. That would be artificial. There's a Pentecost, there's a lot of impersonation of speaking in tongue. Because it's emotion. He did it, she did it, I'll do the same. Because I'm not with them, so I have to do it. You know what is it like? When people go to the pub, someone who is not a drinker, who has been persuaded, have you been persuaded to go to the pub, Luke? Come on, man, it's up the world, let's go, man. African, come on, man. Yeah, bro! That sort of thing, you know. No, not me! Bring them the pub. Not introduced to drinking beer. Come on, just try. They're not going to kill you. And you feel pressure. Okay, you feel that you must do it because you want to be with them. You want to have, you know, be identified with them. You sip one, two, right? So when alcohol gets into you, hey, you lost the senses. And you feel good. Go home, tomorrow you got a hangover. Now after a weekend, go back. Nice ride! Yeah, John, come on! And you go again. And that's what it is. It's all emotion. You've been pressured and you believe it. You fall into that trap. The devil has the way of dealing with you. Like this. Huh. Okay, that's why in Singapore, you know how the killing is important. But we are a barbaric nation, they said. Americans call us barbaric. Especially over Michael Faye's case. You remember Michael Faye's case? A married young man who drew graffiti all over some place in Singapore in public area and took down the stop sign and the junction, you know, stop sign. He took it and bring it to his home. The guy is defiant. When he was caught, I think he was given order to give up 5 strippers or 3 strippers, I can't remember now. And the newspaper in America called barbaric. But you know, that's the news. Larry King alive, oh, come on, CNN. But when I went to Africa, I mean in America, on a plane, I thought, was sitting on a plane and there was this American woman. She was looking at me, hey, you know, I'm Chinese, you know. Are you from China? So now I'm from Singapore. Oh, Singapore, I heard about Singapore. I said, you did? They said, yeah, but Michael Faye. I said, what do you think about it? When the government, our court, said to give him a stroke of cane of the king, he deserved it. Yeah, I said, and she told me, I wish America is like that. I said, but when you said that we are barbaric, they said, you, America said we are barbaric. That's the American news. But we, parents in America, we want the king. He deserves it. Oh, that's news to me. You see, the whole thing you're all about. Right? That's what the Bible says about shaming. Talk about shame. This man, John Rosen, he's American. He's helping the parents that to learn how to deal with the children. Though, of course, you know, they still don't use cane. Because that is considered child abuse. But you know what the Bible says about cane, right? If you don't use the cane, that child will bring shame to you. But if you use the cane, you shame him. So he learned. So he can become a responsible person. That's what it is all about. That's what the Bible talks about. That's why King David was put to shame. Wrote down in the Bible. God confronted him. That's what he did. But some people, you know, like in America, the politician, they try to use King David as an example. That when the politician fell, or fell from grace, because he committed adultery, like Clinton, and some of the others, who have affair. And they use King David's case. You see, God has put them as leaders. Even though he's weak, he fell. He's still God's leader. See the example in the Bible? King David. He was God's man. Even though he committed adultery and killed his one of his best general, he's still God's man. Wow. That's political. The Bible put an example for us. But God, and he said, but King David wasn't dealt with, really? His firstborn. The firstborn is most important to a lineage, right? God took his firstborn. And he told David, "Your bloody man, the sword will never depart from your family." And all his descendants, you look at his descendants, right? Absalom, his brother, his sibling, all, I mean, his other sons, fighting among himself. That sword never leave the family. Because by the sword, you have the sword killed. You're top general, and this is what's going to happen. God deals. And God put David to shame. Well, read the Bible. If David was alive today, he read the Bible, he said, "Oh my goodness, I have no face to show. I'm ashamed." But he is a better man. Isn't that right? When you are put to shame and well dealt with, you make you a better man. Don't use your emotion. "Ooh, Bathsheba is so beautiful. I want him for wife. If I don't, I cannot sleep every night." That's emotion. That's your feeling. Do you know that love is an emotion? Right, go ahead.
Yeah,
when you know. Right? Let the brother get the right. Yes, when you see. The first time you know when you're young, you see the girl you like. I know a story about Brother Clement and my daughter. Interesting story. You know how you fall in love, you see, the girl, emotion is there. Your heart starts to flutter, blah, 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 blah. And then you start to try to court her, things like that. That's emotion, that's all emotion. That's what you have, a passion, the feeling. And that's why when you approach the Word of God, don't approach it with the kind of feeling or emotion. Approach it rationally. Right. Then when you approach rationally, when God dealt with you and show you the truth, yeah, then you can fall in love with Him. Your emotion can be with Him. But don't let it run wild with all that from the outside. Okay. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 to 11. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 to 11. Alright, remember the Canaan, the wrath of God. That's why when Christ comes back in the millennium, He will rule the earth with the rod of iron. Is that right? Yeah, He's going to put to shame people who will not obey. Because the rod, the king, is a deterrent. Alright? So they'll make a person to have good behavior. Hebrews chapter 6, I mean chapter 12, verse 6 to 11. Somebody read. Alright? Luke.
"For whom the Lord
leaveth
not guilty,
he
chastised. And scourged every son who received. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as your sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if he be without chastenment, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons? Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, by he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his means. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby."
Right, I think that is clear enough. Whom the Lord loves us, yeah, He chastises us, He deals with us. Like a father chastises a son, because he loves the son. And if we are children of God, refuse to be chastised, then we are busted. And God will not chastise you, because you are not His. That's why sometimes when the Word of God is applied to us, some people don't like it, they are offended. Hey, you are offended by the Word of God, you are a bastard. Remember when Jesus Christ went out there in the first year of his ministry, went on healing the sick, preaching simple truth. Then as his truth got harder and harder, you know, he would no longer preach simple. He preached in parable, and the reason why he preached in parable so that the disciple could even understand. He said, "What do you preach in parable? We don't even understand what you're talking." And Jesus got, bring them aside and give them the understanding of two parables. After the end of the parable, he said, "Do you understand now?" They said, "We do." He said, "If you don't understand these two parables, the rest of the parable you will never understand. Because truth is hidden in that parable." And he said, "The reason why I use parable, why did he use parable? So that he said that the people in hearing, they hear not. And he's seeing the sinner, for so said Isaiah the prophet." Why? Because truth are not for everybody. There are only four God's elect. That's true. Don't you know that? You can preach the gospel to 1,000 people. Some people say, that's just one of the religion. That's a religion from the Middle East. Or that's a religion of the white man. You won't believe it. You know. We are Chinese. We are ancient. So we believe our gods. So on the seventh month, our ancestors have come back from hell. Then after 1 month is over, we send them back to hell again. Things like that they believe. Yeah. You know what, if Japan is Shinto. Shintoism. They're very much close to Buddhism. You see what they believe in? They believe in nature, the environment that provide life for them. So when they see rivers coming down from a mountain, nice water, and they give them water their field, give them crops and all these things, they respect their nature, and so much so that they even pay worship to them. Is that right? Yeah. And in Singapore, we have a lot of superstition. There are many banyan trees in Singapore. I think also in Malaysia. Banyan tree, you know banyan tree? Yeah. And you find that in many of these banyan trees, you will see a little otter there. Right?
Right.
Because somebody started it because they want to own the place. Later on, in all kinds of corruption is going on. Of course, the how they manipulate to own the piece of area to build a temple later on, whatever. And there's one just right there, Phuket, bottom, very center behind. It was there for quite a while. It's been cleared up now. Did you know that? First, one little altar, the altar it gets bigger, and it's a table, then they put fruits there so people can worship. You want to take the place. That's how it is. That's what the character did. Catholicism, how they migrate over and they go to other country. Little by little they took over the land. They saw my father was against it, against the white people. Of course, my father was wrongly blamed the white people. It's the religion, actually, that goes to a country and corrupt it. So, we need to be chastised by the Lord. Correction is needed. Amen. Alright, let's go to another verse. John chapter 7, verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. That's what Jesus said. Now, how do we know what doctrine is true? How do you know that a doctrine is true? How do you know that what you have been taught is true? Now, Jesus said, if any man will do his will, God's will, he shall know of the doctrine. Whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now, the religious Jews do not agree with Jesus Christ because they think that he speaks of his own doctrine. He speaks of himself. Because, you know, they don't believe that he was the prophet of God. And the Pharisees said they have their own teaching. They contradict actually the word of God. And Jesus Christ said, if you and many men do God's will, if you do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. And now that is very true. Jesus said, I do not speak for myself. God in me speaks, right? So if you do his will, God's will, you will not know true doctrine. That's the will. What is the will of God? What is the will of God? The will of God is everything that is concerning His word. Huh? That's God's will. If you love me, keep my commandment. If you love me, keep my word. That's God's will. So if you already know God's will, you know His word. You know His truth. But the denomination goes and say, yeah, but you know, I love God, I'm doing His will. Okay, really? You really got, you know God's will, right? You say you do. How were you baptized? And then your father said, yes, but that's not God's will. You gotta look carefully into the Bible. No one was ever baptized that way. But what when Jesus commanded it? Because you are not meant to be known by the prudence and the intellectual and the academies. It is not by those who are babes and such that will learn. Jesus said, he prayed to God and got somebody to remember. God will not show it to all those who think they are smart, intellectual, by their knowledge, by their education. So you follow what the Bible actually shows. That's why I said, when you read the Bible, read it forward from the beginning to the end. Don't backtrack and take something out of context. X comes after Matthew. If Jesus Christ said, go into the world, baptize whosoever believe in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But he didn't say that. He said, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet it's not even a title, it's just a name. In a manifestation. The name of the manifestation of the Father and of the manifestation of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But that is what people don't understand now. Not baptized. I'll baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's not what it is. As the Father, as Jesus said to the disciples, go forth into all the world and preach to God, and whosoever believes, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I right now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way you want to do it. That's okay. You see, because that's the revelation. Acts comes after what Jesus said, and Peter knew the revelation. Right. Because when he baptized the first person in water, and then the Lord Jesus Christ, none of the disciples said, hey, Peter, that's wrong. That's not what Jesus said. You understand? So if you do the will of Father, if you do baptize in the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, you're wrong. You want to do the will of God, baptize in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Do it. Then you want to learn to understand. That's why you see, when we take the first step one by one and move along. And that's why it's so important, Jesus Christ, when it's given to you, you receive it. But what is given to you, you don't use it and you just cut this cut away, God is not going to give it to you anymore. Because you despise the truth. And you will never know the will of God, you will never know truth. Alright, so what is truth then? So you walk. How do you know that you have the truth? You have to do the will of God, then you walk with Christ. You talk with Christ, you live with Christ continually. Every day. Is it hard? It's very hard to live with Christ every day. Or do you want to live with Christ only when He suits you? Look at Saul, for example. Now, Saul was chosen by God, but he disobeyed God. 1 Samuel chapter 13. You know what happened there, right? He disobeyed God's command. He didn't wait for Samuel. He was not a priest, right? He was a king, was not supposed to do sacrifice. He couldn't wait. Because he was afraid. The enemy is going to attack. So we got to have this offering first. Before we attack. So we cannot wait for Samuel because we don't know when and how soon the enemy is going to attack. So he decided to Well, do sacrifice. Why you? What? Waiting for 7 days seems a long time. Because one day after another passed, Samuel's still not here. And the enemy is gathering for war now. They are massing all the troops. This is the 7th day. Samuel is still not here. And you know what? God is not blinded to what's going to happen. But we are always afraid. Where is our faith? Where is our faith? Huh? Where is our faith? Think about it. When you have a problem and you want God to solve for you, and you're waiting for God for something, you say, well, I've been waiting for 1 week already, 1 month already, 1 year, 2 years already, you know. God's still not answering my prayer. I don't know whether he's real or not. Hey, when you start wandering like this, then where is your faith? Where is your faith? Just consider the Jew in the Holocaust. Days after day, month after month, year after year, during the war period, and they see people are being taken and into the gas chamber, and then burn up. You can see the smoke coming out the chimney. The growing skinny, children have no food, and they are taken away from the parents. Mm-hmm. If you do not know how horrible it is, just go to the internet and look at the picture. Men are truly like skeletons. You could see, you could count their ribs. And you could see the two bones in their arm, literally. You could see the cheekbone, and the eyes, something, because there's no fat. Mm-hmm. They couldn't even stand, some of them. Many of them still trust in Jehovah. There are many, of course, the curse couldn't die. Just perhaps Job's wife, who told Job, why do you want to suffer like that? Why don't you just curse God and die? What wisdom, what wise word did Job tell the wife? You foolish woman. Don't you know that even though I die, the skin worms into my flesh and it's corrupt, I will still rise up and stand before the Creator. You know, right? Right. Because he's God. He do whatever he likes. He's the potter. I'm the clay. Let him do whatever he likes. Of course, we don't like to be in suffering. We don't like to be shaped through all kinds of phases of pain and suffering. We don't. But why did God allow the Christians to suffer? Ever thought about it? Because there's a purpose in your life. Yeah. There's a purpose. God is not blinded to it. But God doesn't care because I'm suffering. Yeah, we always think about our suffering, our emotions. We're suffering. We're suffering. Right? In India, there's been a news. Modern part of the India, and all those states, Uttar Pradesh, Bihar, some of them, you know, Hindu, harassing the Christians so badly. And some of the Indian Christians, the Kharajat Christians, decided to convert themselves to Hinduism so that they will not be harassed. So they get this mark down there that they're Hindu. Or if they are shopkeepers, they put a pole with a, what is that color, you call that, the orange color, we call that? Saffron colored, right? The one that the priests wear. So that these Hindus who are looking for Christians, shopkeepers who own shop, when they look at it, oh, okay, this is a Hindu shop. Mm-hmm. Wow. So your present life is more precious than the spiritual life. I know a lot of people have fear in them. fear in living in this earthly life, because we are flesh and bone. We have the five senses, we feel pain. Isn't it? We feel pain. We don't like pain. So we just convert ourselves to our religion to safeguard our body. This miserable, horrible, corrupt body, and we say, well, we want to live that life. You know, we want to live, of course. But you are being helpless and so much so, they have like cut off your head. Let it be cut off. We don't deny Christ. Here in Singapore, in this part of the world, many places, we are quite comfortable. We don't seem to have problems. You never know overnight what's going to happen. In the news, the Asian country here having a big problem now. There have been a lot of disagreement among ourselves. All was because what America had been doing. Right? Slowly, 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 it will happen. And overnight, you never know what's going to happen. Terrible. It's the situation we live in the world today. So, kings are going to wait. Impatient. So he made, you know, we just want to make God wait for us sometimes. Instead of waiting for God, we make God wait for us. And I think that's a habit that we should not have. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul, what did Saul do here in this record? He spared King Agag and the animal, because they destroy everything. But he said, I'll keep the best animal for you. Well, God won't eat it. God wants obedience. God doesn't want your sacrifice. But these are good animals. Okay, these are good animals. That's what you think. What about King Agag? He's supposed to kill him. You've spied. You know, when God does say something, don't ever, ever reason outside the will of God. See the point? Baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, not necessarily, because Jesus said, baptize in your Father's Holy Ghost. It's okay. Like my friend, Presbyterian, said, hey, Richard! God looks at the heart. Whichever way you baptize, does not matter. God looks at the heart. Really? Then, water sprinkling, it's okay. God looks at the heart. Go and fornicate and repent. It's okay. God looks at the heart because you love Him. And you can do all the sins you like, but God still loves you because God looks at the heart. Because you say, God, I love you. You know, I love you. You know my weakness. I did this, I did that because I'm human. Is that your excuses? Is that excuses? The Bible said the flesh indeed is weak, but the spirits are willing. You know that, don't you? The spirits are willing, but the flesh are weak. But why then do you not have your spirit strengthened by the Spirit of the living God? And yet if you claim to be a believer and you said you love the Lord, then you love His word, do His will. Why can't you? Is your heart? It is hard because we treasure the flesh. We treasure the flesh. That's what it is all about. That's right. That's what I told my friend. If the woman you married never come to your life, you will not have left this message. Because when he came, when she came to your life, she questioned. And you still don't understand what Brahma is trying to tell you, because it's human. Take in what you hear. You just have to satisfy her and fight for against Paribraham. Simple as that. Simple as that. That's all our church here. How many young men was here? Left because of the woman. Or how many women left because of the man? They came to their life. Simple. It's all about your love for the flesh. Not your love for Christ. And you give all kinds of excuses. Even family years ago did the same. That's what I said this many times. If you are a man of the house, You are the head of the house. You are man. You are the father figure. You are the husband figure. You have to hold your family together by your feet. Not move along with the children because, oh, I don't want to go to church because, you know, that's the way they do this, I don't agree with that. Or your wife said this, or so on and so on. Okay, okay, honey, honey, okay, but you know what, okay, I love you, let's go somewhere else. What did the song we sing earlier on? Huh? You want to stand upon the word of God, is that alright? That's the word. But you want to move along in emotion. Don't let emotion run. Stay on this word. Be rational. And first of all, always have Christ before you. Every time. In any decision you have to make, that's very difficult, always put Christ before you. Don't put your lover before you or your whatever other thing that you desire before you. Put Christ in front. Don't switch him and put him behind. You're going to lose the battle. Do you understand this? That's what King David did. In the evening, after his dinner perhaps, walking up, his palace, going up the balcony. He was on the hillside because there was a palace on the top of the hill, Mount Zion, and looking down, all the houses just below. And so this beautiful woman, bathing. Oh my, his eyes focus on her, beauty. The more that you look, the more that he look, the more that the emotion comes up. Right. And that's how things goes. And then the word of God is forgotten. For that's what is that one of the commandments? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. That thing, oh, the law began to disappear. Because the eyes are looking at the woman. And the woman's come forward to his image. Then that emotion started playing. How to get the woman? And she's married. Oh, she's the wife of my general. Well, I cannot have her until the general died. I sent him to the front line to be killed, the heaviest of battle. He knows that he would die then. That was his intention. And once the general died, of course he prayed hypocrisy. Oh, we mourn for you, oh, we mourn for you. Really? After the mourning is over, I go for his wife. And he took the wife. You know, God told him, for Nathan, you can have as any woman you want. Why do you want to get her? And you're getting her, you have to kill the husband first. You see that the problem is these days, King David lost his sense of rationing, of reasoning. Because why? The woman comes forth and the Lord went behind her. So remember this. 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of God, he has also rejected thee from being king. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's terrible. You talk about witchcraft is bad, right? There's a sin as witchcraft. And stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Yeah. That's stubbornness. Stubbornness is that you're worshipping an idol. Yeah, you're an idol worshipper. Okay? Because you rejected the word of the Lord. You have rejected me from being king. That's talking about King Saul. But let's put it this way. The last part. Because you have rejected the word of God, he has also rejected you from his salvation. And if you ever reject the word of God, you reject it. Remember what Jesus said? If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. Mark it. That's what God said. And when Jesus said that, he meant. Don't think he will not, he will not. I go to church, I worship Christ, I baptize in Jesus. So what? Remember what the book of Revelation said? It's a book list. A book of names, right? And what the Bible said, that there are names that are brought out. What was it brought out? It was there, but was it brought out? A lot of people don't know. You mean Jesus said, they say, that which the Father has given me, nobody took it up from my hand, right? Correct? Yeah. Nobody could take it up from your hand. From his hand, sure. But you know, you are in his hand. You can pry his hand open, finger open, and you jump out. I dislike being under your control. When you get out, and you commit suicide. If you want to be in the hand of the Lord, his hand is a protection. He keeps you. But you don't want it. You just want to know how to get out because it's too difficult. Want to do what I want. So he pushes his finger away from you, his hand away from you, you just jump out and you commit your own suicide. If you deny me before men, he'll deny you. Your name is brought out already. Some names are already on the list. Christ already knows. Right? Some people don't think that it's possible. God just trying to show you understand. These are all that which was written in the book of Revelation, symbolic, yes. He knows those that came to him and deny him again. Hebrews chapter 6. What does he say in Hebrews chapter 6? That's a clear thing in Hebrews chapter 6. You have been enlightened. Enjoy the spiritual thing. Have seen the heavenly blessing. This and that. The taste of the fruits of the Spirit. And then you should follow it. If you should follow it, it is impossible for you to renew, right, come back, because you have crossed the line of no return. You cross that line, you cannot come back to repentance. Exactly like Judas Iscariot. Just like Esau. Final place for repentance. Think for a moment. If you are going to die because you are a Christian, and somebody wants to cut off your head because you are a Christian, because they don't like you being a Christian, they like you to follow their so-called, you know, religious belief. Whether you worship an idol or a god that's, they're not really a god, they want to cut off your head. Is the last chance for you? You're afraid. You're afraid to die. Oh, I'm not a Christian, you know. You're not a Christian. You're not a Christian, really. Yeah, I'm not a Christian. You love your faith. One day after another, what do you think? Because if you have experienced God, if you have experienced a taste of the heavenly food, and you go through that way, that direction, one day after another, I can tell you one thing. That's going to eat into you. You know that? You understand what I'm saying? Simple enough. You steal something. Look at, there was a paper report about the mother and daughter that were shoplifted. Right. Actually, shoplifting is very interesting. Very, very, what we call assimilating, you know. It's a nice experience. Because their adrenaline is rushing. Nobody's seeing you around, you know. You know what I mean? And you walk out, now got caught. Wow. Next time, go again. And they pick more things. You know, when you feel good, the adrenaline rush. But once you're caught, the moment you're caught, the other hormones rush through. Your body is set to cold. You feel cold. You know the feeling? Yeah. That you're hearing the result that you fail. And the police can you feel cold. Then you're questioned. And then the media comes to the picture. No, my person is a newspaper. Not nice. So now you're fine. Did you steal? No, I didn't steal. He dropped into my pocket. I just dropped into my bag. Really? Now, if you don't want to deny, you have no problem. Right. Please. Yes, I stole it. I stole it. Now, that's all about shame. What you try to do the next time? You might and you might not. That depends on your emotion. You get the point on? But when it comes to denial of Christ, you see, when you are caught having committed a crime, you feel very sorrow. Maybe you sit in the jail, in the prison, and you go through your mind, what did I do? Why do I punch the guy, when he beat up the guy until he broke his nose, I broke his nose, and you spend, and you go to that conscience. That's how we call worry. Worry is sorrow. But godly sorrow is another different thing. But now when you deny Christ, you are by yourself now. You see, the news goes out, your brother, your sister in Christ, many of them will have their head cut off, and here you are free. Then you begin to think, I have lost my faith. I have denied Christ. Then you try to go and find a place for repentance. I can tell you one thing. You will not find it. Oh, forgive me. You think you can do that? Because if you do that, what are you going to do? After that, you get out. What are you going to do? If really you find for repentance, what's going to happen to you? You walk out. Another group of souls say, hey, that guy was a Christian before. I know that he's a Christian. You call him. Come here. You're a Christian, right? At that moment, you already repent. What do you think? You're going to say, yes, I am. Would you do that? No, you won't. Because you're already worried. You say, you repent. Hey, Lord, forgive me. No matter how long you cry, you get out, you think that you found repentance? No. Because when you see a soldier, you will tell them. Or when they call you up, they ask you, are you a Christian? The moment you freeze. Are you a Christian? You see, the thing about this is, don't trust this life. This life is not worth it of flesh and blood. Yes, we want life. We want to live. We live for Christ. Not live for the pleasure of this body. In gratifications of what? What? Sex? Food? Money? Popularity? What does it satisfy? What do you ever lie down at night and meditate? What is this life worth? If it was not Christ in you, it's worth nothing. Is that not true? Think about it, you're worth nothing. If your Christ is not in you, you are worth nothing. All those prophets, and I've figured many, and many of them, they are worth millions of dollars. And some of them have their own private jet in Africa. They have business. What do they get money for business? It's from the church. And all these people are being fooled by this emotional prophet who stirs emotion for them because the people like to have emotion. But isn't it not true? You go and watch a nice animated movie, cartoon. Tom and Jerry. When I was young, yeah, Tom and Jerry was favorite. You all know Tom and Jerry. And we love, oh, it feels so good. And then when you see, a thriller, the good guy versus the bad guy. Then when you see the bad guy, you get emotion. Man, kill him, man, kill him. Isn't that not true? That's emotion. That's true. And when you see a sad movie, you do yourself start to cry. You will cry because if the picture, the movies, the actor and actress are presented so well, you have the emotion come at you. Now you watch The Passion. Have you ever watched The Passion of Christ? Did you cry? Yeah, I watched it, but I didn't cry. Because I said, it's worse than that. This was a good presentation. But the person who acted Jesus Christ is too handsome and too big. But that's true. But I have seen one, it's called, I don't know why it wasn't available on Amazon. It's called the Messiah. You never see his face. The face of Christ actor, you'll never see his face. And it's so well acted. I saw it back in the 60s. Man, I cry. So well acted, you'll never see his face. Now that's of course what Mel Gibson portrayed with all that weeping and all that. Yeah, it's horrible, okay. But there was always the thing that he was a Catholic, he was showing the his mother Mary, you know, and that, oh, the Catholicism comes in there. You see. So when you want a picture about Christ, just read the Bible. And when you read the Bible of his passion in the gospel, read it slowly and feel it. Enter into Gethsemane. Not the cross. Enter into Gethsemane. The night of his betrayal. Enter into that and think. You read the Bible, don't just read like a stone. Read it. How did he wait and pray 3 times? And each time he went back to the disciple, hey, can't you watch me for 1 hour? And then he went back there and he prayed again. He said, Father, is it possible? Remove this cup. Just think in the house agony. I mean, that's one word that you write one statement. But you know what he was going through? Groaning. The pain that he's going to face. Nobody wants to die. Jesus do not. He did not want to die. But he was born to die. You and I, we were born to live. The day that Christ was born, and he grows up as a boy, he read the scripture, he knew that he was sent for this cause, to die for the sins of the world. That's why when he comes to the last part of his journey, that's why he was so painful, so filled with pressure on him. That's why his heart was beating heavily. That's why he went to hypertension. His blood pressure was shooting up. Right. Hey, we talk about so simple, you know. Okay, if you die for someone. Someone could be in a crime, your best friend. And he said, and sent to death. Now you're the manager, can I take his place? And a very serious say, okay, get to his place. He does just to die for one person. But the devil Christ in carrying the cross of the world is not that simple. He's a sinless person. And he's looking at sin that's filled with darkness, the horror of it. Now we can even imagine how awful it is. You see, Hitler, Eichmann, and many of these guys, Nazis, who put these Jewish people to death. Do they feel it? To them it's nothing. But to those who read the history, who were there, who saw what's going on, the sort of horror of it. So that's why sometimes people don't understand why Christ had to go through such pain. Why is it so difficult that he got to pray 3 times and doesn't want to die? If possible, Father, there's any other way to solve this situation of redeeming mankind, if it's possible, don't let me take this cup. Find me some other cup. Wow. Think about it. So I want you to know this. He died for you. And what is your life worth? We want to live. Maybe you are young, like Brother Luke and Infirm, you are young, yes. But Joshua, right? At a young age, we don't want to die. You know one thing, I learned one thing. As we grow this day, we realize our life is just a life. We get up in the morning, brush our teeth, take our breakfast, take our books, if you are a student, or pack our suitcase or whatever, go to work. Huh? 8 to 4, finish, go home, take a shower, have your dinner, read a newspaper, or whatever, go to bed. Morning, get up again, do the same routine. One day after another, maybe after a few months, let me take a vacation, go to Japan, take wagyu beef, or sashimi, go to Matterhorn, I'm going whatever, the Switzerland, and enjoy the free show and hear the sounds of the cows and the moose, whatever. And that's life. Come back and go to work again. Everything just go on and on. That's life. You know, that's just life. But if you, I don't want to me. Every day, I get up, open my window, just lift my hand and say, thank you, Lord, for another day. Just pray for a while, and now when I go to bed, say, thank you, Lord, for this day that passed by, for your blessing, for the joy. You see, we live with Christ, we walk with Him, we talk with Him. That's what it is all about. And whatever comes, let it come. But our Father watches over us. He cares for us. He knows what we need. Do you see that? Alright, now let's continue quickly. You know, here this pride of Saul. I mean, there are other people. Oh, Peter. Peter is prideful. Oh, yes. And even Paul himself said, and she said, oh my God, did not remove the thorn from his side. The pain in his eye. Because of what happened on the road to Damascus. We already proved that. How to check the scripture, how to prove that it was the eye problem. It was not cataract problem. His eyes, the cornea was burned by the bright light, brighter than the sun. And in one moment, he saw that his cornea was scarred. Burned. And when he was prayed for, that beast came off. But God left the pain there. And every time he passed up, the pain comes back. To teach you. How much is the bone? Because I've given you a whole lot of revelation. Don't try to boast about it. See that? And we have Peter. Now, Peter prayed with hypocrites, of course. But he learns to humble himself. And Paul would not tolerate what Peter did. And Paul called his name in front of all the elders for blame the hypocrisy. Oh yes. Well, what about Amos over there in Nigeria? The man who said he's the lead apostle? A lead apostle. But what in Africa, a lot of people think that now God has used the African people. Gotta use, first of all, use the Shemite. That's what happened in the Old Testament. Then God now used the Japhetite in Europe, in America. Now he finally comes to the third son of Noah, who is Ham, the black people. So that's when Africa, there are a lot of apostles and a lot of prophets. And they went all kind of teaching. You see how things works out? You know one thing about it? Why did Paul call the name or rebuke Peter in front of the elders? Remember, Peter was older than Paul by at least 3 years. How come Paul did not have respect for the elder man, at least older than him? And also to respect Peter, because Peter was the big fisherman. He was the first person to preach the gospel. You know, some people have written me letters years ago, and there was an issue between me and Brother Jackson. They say I have no respect for Brother Jackson. On the contrary, I respect the man a lot. And I told him many times, Brother Jackson, you have not said the right thing. It's not there. You cannot prove it that I did this, because I didn't. And the thing that you said I taught, it's not there. But you continue. And on and on. And everybody think that I was the one who have created the problem. You know, it's all because of a letter I told you from a Ghanaian pastor who wrote to him and me, same letter that caused the problem. And so over the years, when it goes into too much of a confusion, they have to clear myself. And even after cleaning up, they still the attack. So, do we respect somebody older just because he's older, even though he lies and there's falsehood, a false accusation? Peter was playing the hypocrisy. Peter, if Paul don't stop that and call his name. And Peter was ashamed, of course, in front of all the elders. And today when we do that, when I do that in public, when I do it in the church, I'm being accused of it. Then I shouldn't have done that. Because the excuse was that I offend the brother or I offend the sister. And like some grandma would say, draw a bigger circle, brother man. Just draw a bigger circle. Love the brother, love the sister, even whatever they say. Whatever they say is not a problem. But the error that they say, that's a problem. The error against the word of God, and the lies and the falsehood told, got to put, have to be a stop. Peter was playing the hypocrisy, it was falsehood. It's okay to eat with the Gentiles when the elders of Jerusalem is not around. But when you see the elders of Jerusalem comes around, whoops, sorry, brother, I have to move quickly. He finds excuses to go away. And Barnabas was with him. What's going on, Peter? And Paul said, that's why. Whatever Peter was doing, Barnabas followed, and Barnabas was confused. And Paul rebuked him. You know the truth, but you're not practicing the truth, Peter. Peter did not even speak a word. The Bible didn't say that he gave an excuse. Peter knew that he was a big guy, but now he's facing someone whom God had raised out of due season. Paul was not of the original 12. But Peter now has someone to contend with, someone he needs to know that God has given higher revelation. And he didn't have it. That Peter didn't have it. Why? Because Peter was still so much in tradition, so much in his emotion. Paul is not in emotion. Paul is one who is very rational. And we need to understand when it comes to the Word of God, let us be rational. Now, when somebody says something to you, you say, you love the person. Yeah. We know love is very powerful, right? That was a saying. Somebody, this has been going for Africa. Is the blood of Jesus Christ powerful? Is it powerful? Is it all powerful? Yes or no? Yeah, the blood of Jesus is all powerful. Is sin all powerful? You know, that's just where this teaching comes from. The building and restoration of all things. All the living people will come back to Christ. Even Hitler. Even Judas. All sinners, hardcore sinners, all will come back to Christ. Why? They said that the blood of Jesus is so powerful that sin is conquered. That whatever sin a person has done is destroyed. So Christ has to save them. But if you say that Judas, Hitler, and all those hardcore criminals, all the atheists, those who deny Christ, will not be saved, that means sin is all powerful over the blood of Jesus Christ. You see the argument? Wow. You see the kind of reasoning. I asked a brother one time, I said, your man said refused to be saved. I don't believe in God, I believe in Jesus, I just want to die and get rid of me, that's all. I said, what will happen to him? No. God will wash him, train him, teach him, throw all them away from him and save him. But I said, means the person has no choice then. Right? Didn't the Bible give you a choice? Choose you this day whom you will serve. I don't want to serve Christ. I don't want to serve God. I don't believe in God. No, you don't have a choice. God will bring you to him. You get the kind of reasoning? And that's false. Bible give you a choice. God created man, Adam and Eve, to begin with, to give them a choice. The angel will make a choice because no one is a robot. If we are forced to become, you know, children of God, but we don't want to, are we not robot? God has programmed our soul, right? You see how people just can twist the word of God and do what they want. Love is so powerful. God is so powerful. He will save everyone. Whether you like it or not, whether you want to be saved or not. I just wonder if you have a cow. Like in India, you have a lot of cows. You kill the cow and you eat it because you're Christian. And your daughter who was growing up with the cow said, Mama, I love the cow, you kill the cow. So you tell God, I want the cow back. So God send the cow and bring the cow back for you. Just because he's all powerful, you love the cow, so you bring back the cow. I mean, is that logical? No, in the way of reasoning. When you're reasoning outside of the word of God, let me close off with this part. You see, if love is more powerful than reason, and you find that, it becomes the death of duty. Yeah, love and no more reason, no more senses. It's death. It means everybody just love, God will love, love, come in, you don't care about any other thing. No matter what you do, God will still give you salvation. And this kind of teaching, it kills the truth. If you see a man drown in a sea, and you do not know how to swim, would you jump in and try to save him? Would you? You know, if I was with my grandson and we go out there on the pier somehow, my son grandson for him, and the water is deep, I don't know how to swim, what am I going to do? I jump in. Okay, Adam, I'll jump in with you, let's die together. Myself said, if I can't, I can't. No matter what, no matter how I try. That is true, you know. There's a lot of people who are foolish enough to do that. That's blind love. And remember one thing. There are three kinds of love that we have. Eros, in Greek. Filial, and agape. You know what Eros, right? Eros come from the word erotic. Eros is a physical love. Attractions of a man and a woman. Then we have filial, that's bodily love. And the third one is agape. That's from God. So what is true love then? When you say love, draw a bigger circle. Are you doing it because you were taught to do it? Are you really doing it because you have the agape love of God to really do it in circle? It's different. So if you have the true love of God, then we act according as what the Lord really does, and it can only be done by doing the will of God. This is what it is. You do the will of God. Follow His word, understand the teaching, keep our balance in the word of God, not just by tradition. What tradition say, and we just simply follow. That's not the way. Because there are many false prophets already in the end time. And Jesus said this in the book of Matthew chapter 7. He said this: beware a false prophet who comes to you in wolf's clothing. Right? I just give it briefly before we end, because I will touch on that later on. And he said, by their fruit, by their fruits, you shall know them. Correct? Now, what is this fruits? By their fruit you shall know them. Oh, you know, denomination, I've been teaching this. But the question is, I have asked many of them, have you been taught the truth? By their fruit you shall know them. By their fruits you shall know them. What do you mean by their fruits you shall know them? Oh, you see this man here, he preached the word of God. He's so loving. He's full of love. He gives to charity. He lived his life so good, you know, so godly, brotherly kindness. He's a man of God. Is that what the Bible talks about? When, is that what Jesus said? By the fruits you shall know them? That's different. People think that what Jesus said is referring to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. No. What is the fruit of the Spirit? A singular word. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, brotherly kindness, godliness, and so on, right? You know that, isn't it? That's the fruit of the Spirit. But Jesus Christ, when he said about false prophets, by their fruits, you shall know them. This fruit is not the fruit of the Spirit he's talking about. If you read within context, you will know. That's the reason why I will not touch on it now. But you all know that when you look at the word, you place the word carefully. Otherwise, you take it out of the passage and you mix with another, you're going to get so all messed up. And you get confused. Because a lot of Hindu priests, very, very nice people. Isn't it true? A lot of Buddhists, they have very good fruits in their life. But that's not what Jesus talked about. The fruit of the Holy Spirit and the fruits that you shall know that are two different kinds. And the Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your word, Lord. Commit all to your Father that you bless. And for those who will listen to you online, the Lord, you open your ears to hear. And look into thy word, Father, of understanding it. Doing thy will according to that which you have laid down. And according, O Father, of our love for you, they draw us to fulfill that which you want us to fulfill. As we love you, we keep your commandment, keep your word. So Father, bless the day now. We commit this all in Jesus' name. Amen.